Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today I want to talk about faith as a servant. Amen. Faith as a servant. You know, faith is your servant. Now, what do you mean by servant? Well, what does a servant do? A servant will do a work. He will work for you. If you hired somebody, a servant will work for you. Your faith should be a servant for you. In other words, working for you, performing its duties according to what you're saying. In other words, the last thing you want to do is not to speak anything. If you're not talking faith, your servant won't be active. And I'm talking, not when I say faith, listen to me. When I say faith, I'm not talking about natural faith. I'm talking about supernatural. It's not, you know, you got to get out of this main, this the mind thinking or this mentality of natural faith. Yes, we have natural faith, but I'm talking about the God kind. I'm talking about the faith that you received and you made Jesus Christ the Lord, Savior of your life. Amen. Faith was imparted in you. Yes. Actually, the greatest miracle ever performed was when you believed and confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Other words, when you confess, you're just confessing out of faith. You know, you will not top that. That's the greatest act of faith you will ever do. Amen. Now listen to me. You didn't spend weeks and weeks and weeks preparing. It was just bang. God saved you because you acted on the word. That's right. In other words, you didn't need more faith. You just acted on the faith that you heard. Amen. A lot of times I think, and I've seen and I've gone through this. Well, I need more faith. I need more faith. Well, obviously, well, what we really need is more knowledge. What we need is a renewing of the mind. Yes. Amen. And what we're going to get into is just use the faith that you have. Faith is a servant. You don't need more faith. You need to use what you got. Amen. Now, we're going to get into this. I try to explain myself because when I first got in the full gospel message, I was just expecting God to do everything. Well, He has done everything, but now it's up to you to receive the benefits. And the only way to receive the benefits is to act on your faith. In other words, you're going to have Scripture in order to believe. So God has given us a servant called faith. Now turn with me to Romans, not Romans, Luke chapter 17. So when we talk about the God kind of faith, the last thing you want to do is start talking a bunch of idle words. Idle words are unprofitable words. You want to speak the word only. You want to focus your speech that lines up with the word. That's where the enemy gets so many Christians sidetracked when they're saying things that God never said. So in order to activate your faith, which is your servant, you must speak the word only. Don't be adding a lot of other stuff to it that God didn't say. Just speak the word. So Romans, Luke chapter 17, I want to start with verse 3. And it says, well, we'll jump into verse 3. It says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Verse 4. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Now, Peter thinks that's quite a bit. 7 times in a day? But in Matthew's account, Jesus said 70 times 7. Now, isn't that amazing? Here, Jesus has done all these works, signs and wonders, and nowhere in the Bible does it talk about the apostles asking Jesus to increase their faith. But here we're going to see, after Jesus says 7 times 70, Peter comes back and says, Lord, let's read that next verse, his response. He says, in verse 5, it says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Peter's going, what? 7? Then Jesus said 70 times 7. How can that be? How can I do that? And Peter says, increase our faith. Have mercy on us. I can't do this. Isn't that something? Increase our faith. And allow. Now, this is what I'm trying to get next verse. And so the Lord is going to give them the answer. This is God's response. And I say God because Jesus is the express image of the Father. He only spoke the words of the Father. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So notice what the Father says. And the Lord says, if you would have faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So he's saying to the disciples, you don't need more faith. You need to use what you got. Listen, faith is like a muscle. In the natural, if you don't use your muscles, what happens? If you don't use your faith on a regular basis, it'll just go dormant and be weak. But saints, we don't want to do that. Faith is a sermon. You're going to have to do some talking. When I was growing up, I got hold of, my dad had his Popular Mechanics magazine on the back. It had a Charles Atlas program. So I was pretty skinny. You think I'm skinny now? When I was a lad, I was really skinny. So I sent off this Charles Atlas program. I was about 12 years old. And I got the program and I got my piece of paper out and I marked each day. So I went through those programs we had some workout weights in the basement. So I started working out the biceps. I would look in the mirror. I'm telling you, this is how it is. I had a mirror down there. I'd look in that mirror. I'd go, I'd do it just like Charles Atlas did it. This is what he said. Do it slow. Hold it, lift it up, hold it. I did that for 40 straight days. And I'm telling you, I could see a difference looking in the mirror. I could tell my biceps were getting stronger and stronger. Why? Because working those biceps. Now, it's obviously that I quit. I'd have no longer even... Why? See, you don't see the results now because I've never really used them like that. Saints, faith is the same way. You have to use it. In other words, what I'm saying, you have to give your servant a job. Give your servant a chore, something to do. Develop your faith. Start on something small. It doesn't matter. You can multitask. Faith is well able. You don't want to overextend your faith, but you can start with something small. But the point is, just like weights, you can build yourself up to a higher level, but you're going to have to use faith. Faith. And keep working at it. And keep working at it. And then what? You get results. See, the problem is like in the natural, I haven't been lifting weights for a long time. So if I would decide, you know what, I'm going to try 200 pounds. I'm going to try it. I'm not going to be able to do it. Why? Because I haven't developed anything. So I want to start at a lower level in order to build up. Same with faith. You've got to start someplace. Start on something small and build yourself up to a higher level. Just like in the natural, I mean, I look in the mirror now and I don't want to look too long. I'm seriously, I look in the mirror and, you know, kind of do this and that, you know, I got to walk away. You know, some things you just don't want to see at too long time. But if I had a bunch of muscles, I may stay in front of that mirror a little bit, you know, show it off a little bit. Hey, you get the... So let's read on. It goes on. Let's read verse 6 again. So if you had faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this sycamine tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey who?
You.
Now, it didn't say God, but God is the one backing you. He's the one that's giving you the faith. He's the one that's got the power, but He expects you to use your authority, which is actually His authority, to start speaking some stuff. Start speaking. Speak what you want, not what you have. I'm encouraging you, start at a level that's attainable and build yourself up. Get those faith muscles moving. Development. Verse 7, it says, and which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when you have come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? Verse 8, but will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink. So notice the procession. Notice it's after you took care of your master. It's after you've done your work. Then you rest. But you don't rest until the work's done. Faith is to be on the job until the job is complete. It goes on to say, verse 9, does he think that that servant, because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. Other words, listen, if you hired a servant, do some cleaning, housework. We'll say cleaning your house from top to bottom. They have a whole day. But you come in and that servant that you're paying high wage, you're paying, is in your lazy boy, laying back, eating popcorn, and worst of all, drinking your last Mountain Dew. Now, what would you do? What I would do, I'd kick that lazy boy. You better get up. I'm paying you money. You got a job to do. You're not going to stop. You're not going to quit until the job's done. Saints, faith. You give your faith a job, and you expect the job to be done.
Amen.
The God kind of faith, if you put it to work, it'll work for you. If you work the word, it'll work. You'll get the right return, the exact thing you sent him out to do. But you're going to have to say. Other words, back to verse 6. He said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you would say. You're going to have to say it. Other words, Jesus is saying you don't need more faith. Use what you have and develop your faith. You getting that? Develop what you have. You'll grow. We're made in the image of God, and we are speaking spirits. God wants you to say some things. and not idle words. We're going to get into that in just a little bit because that's big time. Only say what the Word says and stick with the Word. Don't be adding stuff that God did not say. And number two, so you got to say it. And number two is big. You got to keep your faith pure. Saints, listen, why do I say that? Because one word from God, one, will do the impossible. Peter walks on the water. One word. It's not like Jesus had to speak a bunch of words. One word. And that one word, he's walking on the water. So actually, he's walking on the Word, which suspends him above the water. Now, so I'm just trying to get a point here. The power of God's Word. A lot of times in our thinking, I got to have a whole lot more Word. Now, don't get me wrong. The more Word you know, the better off you are. Hands down, there's no debate. But what I'm trying to say is, a lot of times we'll get in a performance thing. If I can do this, if I can get a bunch of words, then God, no, just one word. The Word will work. Amen. Now turn with me to Matthew 17, verse 20. One word. Matthew 17. Now this is where the disciples could not cast out the demon. And they really don't understand it. They haven't figured it out. So they can't cast the demon out. And it wasn't because of lack of power. Verse 18, it says, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and the demon came out, and a child was cured from that very hour. Verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus privately. You get that? In other words, they want to know something. What was the deal here? We couldn't cast the demon out. What? Because we've been doing this. We've been doing it. They've been doing it, right? So all of a sudden they can't. Now they want to know why. What's the hold up? Well, Jesus gives them the answer. They said, why could we not cast it out? Verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Other words, they were no longer operating in the purity of faith. Something got mixed in. And if you read the story in more depth, this boy had some major issues. He would foam at the mouth. He would roll in, really put on a show, right? Well, evidently, see, unbelief comes through the senses. It comes two ways, basically. I don't want to get a massive teaching on this. I don't have time, but it comes through unbelief. Unbelief comes through lack of knowledge. And unbelief can come through the senses, what you're looking at. In other words, what you're looking at, it looks impossible to the natural mind. And that unbelief from the senses starts to come in and it gets mixed in with your faith and it causes faith to be inactive. In other words, it's not a lack of power. Listen, the name of Jesus is above the devil. But you can't operate that name in unbelief. It'll stop your faith. That's the reason why I'm talking about. You must have pure faith. Keep your faith pure. And he goes on to say, because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, here we go. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain. Now he's saying basically the same thing. Luke said tree. Now Matthew says mountain, but he says if you had faith as a seed, but that faith as a seed has to be pure. You understand? You cannot expect God to do great things when you're entertaining unbelief. It'll stop your faith. So to have faith as a servant working for you, it's going to take a purity. It's going to take a pure faith, untinted faith to work. That's the reason why you keep your eyes on the Word only. This is why got Peter in trouble, right? As long as he kept his eyes on the Word, it was working. But as soon as something else got mixed in, other words, what did Peter do? Peter started listening. Faith, he had faith, the faith word, right? Come. He walks on the water, right? As long as he's focused on the Master, listening to his word, he is doing fine. Just on one word. So what? His faith's working. But as soon as he started entertaining the senses, what's going on around him, something else entered in. Ah, see? Peter's got something good going on, right? He's walking on the water. But when he started giving audience to the devil, when he started giving audience to what's going on in the natural, the circumstances, now faith's not able to do. But this is the Word of God. You try to tell me that unbelief will cancel out the Word of God? Yes. Keep your eyes focused on the Master. Keep your eyes focused on Him. Don't entertain. Listen, when Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. What, didn't they all get in the boat? Yeah, they all got in the boat to go to the other side. But what happened? They had the Word. But someone else is trying to get their attention. Someone else is trying to puff themselves up. That's exactly what the devil did. He wants to intimidate. So a storm comes up. Now Peter starts saying stuff like, we're about to perish. Well, God never said that. He said, let us cross over to the other side. So what's going on? They got the Word, but now it's not pure. It's been entangled with something that the devil's doing. In other words, they're no longer listening to what the Word said, but now they're listening at what the devil's doing. Whenever you start giving audience to the circumstances, it messes up, it can mess up your faith. I mean, you think about it. I mean, when I read that story, it's amazing. It's like, you know, have you seen the boxing matches on TV? I'm talking about heavyweights. The George Foreman, Ali, and Joe Frazier. These announcers, they start pumping things up. They go on this side is this the undefeated champion, and on this side is so-and-so. Well, in that episode, when they were crossing over to the other side, there was a great match going on. On this side is the Word of God, and on this side is the storm, mega storm. Now, here's the thing. They're going to come together and meet right in the center. It's a fight. The fight of the century. Who's going to win? Is it going to be the megastorm? Is it going to be the Word of God? I tell you right now, it is a total mismatch. It is a total mismatch. This is a test. You're going through a trial. It's a test. All it is. I've taken tests at school. And you hand in your paper and the teacher gives it back to you and it's like World War II. It's all marked up, red. And the girl in front of me, She was a brunette, brown eyes, just like Joanne. Beautiful. Not as beautiful as you. But when she get her papers back, they would be nice and clean, no markings. And I look at my paper and it's like, are you kidding me? How can I do that many things wrong? But anyway, and, you know, anyway, that's a whole other story. So anyway, Jesus gave them the answer. It's an open book test. It does in the natural, it doesn't look like it. But Jesus already gave them the answer to the open book test. Now, I can always do pretty good in open book testing. Let us cross over to the other side. That's the answer. He gave it to them. Well, when the storm came, they weren't thinking about that. Why? Because they were giving audience to what the devil was doing. What the devil was saying. All they had to say, listen, was to speak the word. It is about as simple as you can get it. Remember, Jesus just taught them, sowing the word. Jesus sowed the word in them. Let us cross over to the other side. The answer was right there. Other words, what I'm saying, the disciples, one of them, just one, I saw what it took, just one. Peter would have been a good example. He's the one always asking the questions. If he would have got up and just made a confession, let us cross over to the other side. Or he could have said this, we're crossing over to the other side. That is saying the same thing. That's confession of faith. Confession means to say the same thing. All they had to say is what Jesus said. It would have been case closed, over. Fight's over. But Jesus had to get up and do an executive order. I'm telling you, if you keep your faith pure and make your confession only what the Word says, saints, your faith will work and you'll get to work at a higher level. I can look back over the years where I started and where we're at now. Now, see, I'm bragging on God. I'm bragging on His Word. What I used to do and what I'm doing now, I give God the glory. Why? Because it's a God kind of faith. It's His faith. But we have to develop our faith in us like you would a muscle. So if they just would have said, let's cross over to the side, if they just would have said the same thing, it would have been over. You remember Jairus? You know, Jairus comes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, my daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she may live. Remember, just a simple, as his confession. Well, as they went, a bad report came, right? And so the bad report was she's died. It's over. But the Bible says that immediately Jesus said, only, don't be afraid, only believe. Believe what? Confession. What was his confession? That he would lay his hands on her to heal her and she will live. That was his confession. He didn't need another word. The disciples going across to the other side did not need another word. Can you give me another word? Pastor Mark, could you give me another word? No, use the words you got. What's the last thing he told you? Just stand on the word. Speak the word only. A lot of times, oh my goodness, I need more word. Again, I'm not belittling that not to have a lot of word. The more you know, the better off you are. We're talking about the living Word of God, the Zoe, life of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, in every case, what we're talking about, it's never like, just use what you got. You don't need another word. Just use what you have. Now, if God wants to give you another word, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But until then, more than likely, God ain't going to give you another word. Because you're not using the one you got. Oh, God, I need more revelation. Why don't you use what you got? Why would He give you revelation if you're not using what you got? So a lot of times we're begging and pleading God to do this and that. Use what you got. You got more than enough to carry you over. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Hallelujah. Now don't get too excited. Mark chapter 11. Of course we know Mark 11. That's Kenneth Hagin's chapter. I want to look at this just for a second. Verse 13, Mark 11, 13, it says, "And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he went to it, if perhaps he finds something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the time, it was not the season for figs." Now, 14, in response, now see, this is major. In response, see, you got to have a response. When the negative circumstances come against you, don't just be flippant about it and try to ignore it. You must have a response. I'm talking about a faith response, not a flesh response. Jesus did not kick the tree. Right? He did not get into the flesh, kicking the tree, putting his arms up in the air. Well, why is this always happening to me? Why is it? I come up the tree. What's going on? No. Have the right response. When your bank account is not matching up with the word, don't be saying idle words. Why is this happening to me? What? No, have a faith response. Jesus said, now he's just saying it like it is. He said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And if you go on down, now listen, so he speaks to the tree. What's he doing? He's putting his faith out there. Other words, remember, your faith is your servant. Now your servant's going to do exactly what you say. So he's released what? Words. So faith is attacking the issue. Faith is working. What does Jesus do? He doesn't stay at the tree. He's moving on, doing the Father's business. That's exactly how we should work. You give a command and you go on about your business. Faith is working. When I lost my ring, this wedding ring right here, I lost it while I was cutting firewood. And so I looked for it for probably about 2 or 3 hours total looking for it. And I got to the point, so I'm wasting a lot of time. So I said, now see, you can't live off someone else's revelation. You can't say, well, I'm going to say exactly what Kenneth Hagin said, and then it'll work for me. No, you got to be led by the Spirit and speak the inspiration or unction of the Spirit in your situation. This ring was lost. And Joanne, verify this. This ring was lost. I couldn't find it. So I said, now I'm going to put my servant to work. I said, ring, you will show yourself before me. You will show yourself to me in the name of Jesus. That's all I said. I said it, and I went on about my business. Now, there's a lot of things I could have said, but that's what I chose to say because that's the words that I had.
Yeah.
Now, that ring did exactly what I said. Let's read Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23 says, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed," you got to say it, right? "Be removed and be cast in the sea and does not doubt." You can't doubt. You can't doubt. You can't entertain doubt of the heart. You can't do it. Unbelief, you can't do it. Focus on the Word. Now, I ain't talking about the mind. I'm talking about the heart. You can't allow doubt and unbelief in the heart. But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So when I spoke those words, I was basing it on Mark 11:23. Other words, I don't have any doubt, no unbelief. What I spoke is what I believed, and I'll have what I say because I don't have doubt and I believe. So I went on about my business. I thought it was in Boonville. I thought this little guy was in Boonville. He was in Newburgh. I was in the backyard, and we was about ready to leave within 2 days. And I just came back from Boonville, and I was leaning. I was taking my gloves off, my socks off. I was cutting and chainsaw and stuff. I was all messed up, and I would look down. And where the sun was shining, this thing gave off a gleam, a shine. And I said, "What is that?" So I went down and I picked it up and I said, "There you are. You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be in Boonville." But what was my request? "You will show yourself to me." That's exactly what happened. I wasn't surprised like Peter was at the tree. Jesus' response at the tree was just have faith in God. I was surprised where I found it, because I would have put the farm on it that was in Boonville. It was in another location. But what happened? My faith was working on it all the time. In other words, your servant, your faith is not going to stop until the job's complete. When they came back the next day and looking at the fig tree, well, the job was complete. The tree was totally dried up from the root, which it started when he spoke, but now the manifestation to the top. Faith doesn't stop until you have full manifestation. Keep it out there. I said, keep your faith on the job. It's working. You may not be able to see it in the natural. It's working. Just give it a chance. It'll show up. It'll manifest itself.
7 months?
We went seven. I thought it was 3 months, but about 7 months. That's what I was thinking. Because we left in August, because I was cutting, coming in, it was still kind of cool. Yeah. 7 months. Now, I, as Lord is my witness, I did not wring my hands. I sure hope it works. I sure hope. God have mercy on me. None of that. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just bragging on what the Word will do for you. I have so much confidence in the Word. I know it's working. It's working. And there will be a manifestation of what I want because faith will bring it to me. The God kind of faith. See, we're not talking about natural faith, hon. We're talking about the supernatural. A whole nother level, so just get out of your natural thinking. Get out of it. 7 months. I have to remember that. I didn't know it took that long. Good thing. I might have been complaining. But I don't remember even hardly thinking about it. Now, if I would have been thinking about it, I would have. And now if I was having trouble with doubt, if I was having trouble, what would I do? I'd go right to the scripture. I'd go right back here and I'd say, well, this is what Mark 11:23 says. And this is what I did. So I'm going to continue to stand on this. Now, I may have to go back and rehearse what the word says, but I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give audience to the devil, to the senses. Time has nothing to do with it. I believe God gives the increase. I believe God gives the increase. His faith in my mouth will work every time. But see, the devil, the enemy will try to disrupt that because the Bible, because everything has to come through the heart. Let's talk. That's the reason why you got to watch idle words. Let's turn to, I want to probably finish up. Turn with me to, let's go to Matthew 12:36. Matthew 12:36. And it says, well, anyway, let's back it up to verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Verse 36. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Verse 37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Back up to verse 36. But I say to you, every idle word. Now, why is that so important? Idle words will mess up your faith quicker than anything. An idle word is unproductive. It's idle. It's not doing anything in the good. They are words, listen to me, they are words that you say that you don't believe. Think about that. Words that you're talking, words that you're speaking, and you don't believe it. Now, why is that so important? Okay, let me give you an example. Words like, now Christians will, even Christians will make fun of this. They will tell you, that doesn't really matter. That's not that important. My feet are killing me. My back is killing me. I'm starving half to death. I'm starving. We got anything to eat? I've said that before. We are starving. Joanne, do we got anything to eat? That's two lies right there. I'm not starving. As skinny as I am, I could probably go a week.
Not too long.
Now, water, you can't go long at all. But I'm talking about food. Now, I'm not starving. I just ate 3 hours ago. The refrigerator is full of food. So I'm not starving, and we got plenty to eat. Those are words that never should have left my mouth. I have a splitting headache. Now they don't come to pass because, well, let me put it this way. The more you say stuff like that, the more you numb your heart. Because you're training your heart that the words you speak, some of them don't come to pass. I don't know if I said that right. Every time you say stuff that you don't believe, you numb a part of your heart. And the more you say things like that, you're messing up the core. Other words, you're training yourself that your words aren't important. So when you do speak something, you're not going to have very good results because you've been saying a lot of trash. Now, a lot of Christians, and I'm not even going to debate it because I already been through this. Your words, you got to put a premium on it. Your words, you cannot just say anything. You'll find through the Genesis to Revelations, people get themselves in trouble with the words of their mouth. Snared by the words of your mouth. I didn't say it. He said it. He says, read this again. It says, by your words, verse 37, it says, by your words you will be justified. By your words you will be condemned. The devil is waiting for your words. The words you don't believe, he'll take them. Whenever you start saying death words, that's fear-based. That's nothing to do with it. Well, I'll tell you what. By your words, you set things in motion. Don't you think they don't? You're setting things. You set things like, well, I used to say it, and they come to pass, and they came to pass. December's coming up. I'll be sick. Most of the time I was. Why? What happened? I set something in motion. Words. Initially I didn't believe it, but you say something long enough, you start believing it. I started to believe it. Yeah, I'll get it. Sure enough, I got it. You set things in motion. Idle words, unproductive words. You're saying words you don't really believe. But if you say them long enough, you'll take them and the devil will use them against you. This is big. You got to make each word. Listen, I said this before, I said it again. We're made in the image of God. We are speaking spirits in His image. Make your words count. Don't say things. It's a 24-hour job to watch your mouth. Now, Brother Chuck, it can't be that important. It is, saints. Because you want your words to work for you. You want your faith working for you, not against you. So I purposely watch. You have to watch, put a guard over your mouth, watch what you're saying. Say the word only. Well, isn't it what remember the centurion? The Roman centurion? The Roman soldier, and I think it's in Matthew chapter 8. Remember him? He came up to Jesus. He said, speak the word only. Because listen, you remember, because the Roman soldier, let's think about it. A soldier with no covenant. A soldier, a Gentile. No covenant with God. But yet he understood the power of words. He understood the authority of words. And he said, Jesus, if you just say a word, only. If you will just say the word only, my servant will be healed. He got exactly what he wanted. No, he had absolutely no doubt, because he had a revelation of the word. He saw Jesus operate under the authority of God. He recognized that authority, and he said, Jesus, if you use that authority on my servant, you just speak a word, and that in faith, the servant of faith, will go to work. It'll work for you, saints. It'll work for us. The word will work if we'll work it. And don't be saying a bunch of idle words. Don't allow the enemy's words to get involved, entangled in what you're believing God for. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.